Arthur will say good morning and good night, everyone. So today's daf is Mem Ches 48. We're actually starting on Mem Zayin Amud Beis 47b. And we're starting with Ibais Emo. It's 2, 4, 6 lines up from the bottom, last word on the line. So remember again, the Gemara says the following. So just to reorient ourselves a little bit, we spent time yesterday, the end of the daf yesterday, on a fascinating Braisa. The Braisa said, I'll just read it to you. It said, Iskachili b'shtar chov, if a man says to him, become a kudesh to me with a loan document, O shahaya lo milveh b'yad acherim, or for that matter, he had a loan, an outstanding loan, in the hand of another, which means that someone else owed him money, v'hir sha'alehem, and he wrote for her a power of attorney over that loan. Rabbi Meir on mikudeshes, Rabbi Meir says it works, the kiddushin works, and the chachamim say eina mikudeshes, it does not work. So also we began yesterday the discussion of trying to figure out what exactly is the machlokis between Rabbi Meir and the chachamim. So the Gemara essentially said that there are two levels to this machlokis, or two ways of interpretation. So path number one is to discuss that they are arguing about a milveh bishtar, a written loan, and the second possibility was that they're talking about a milveh al peh, a verbal loan. So right now we're analyzing the approach that says that it's a milveh bishtar. So the Gemara says, v'i ba'yisema, t'choli amo leslu d'rebi. So the Gemara says, in reality, it could be that no one holds like Rebbe. Remember Rebbe Shita we saw yesterday, and Rebbe said that Lamaisa Milin. Rebbe's lashon was that Mili Mimsaron. Rebbe's idea was that not Mili Mimsaron, but that you could go ahead and could convey a shtar chov to another party simply through verbal declaration. So the Gemara says, let's assume for now that no one holds a Rebbe. And here the machlokus between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim is regarding the shita of Rav Papa. Dam Rav Papa, Haiman dezabin shtar lechavrei. If someone sold a shtar chov, a document, a loan document to his friend, tzarach lemichtav le, kani lechahu v'chol shibudei. I am hereby giving over the shtar to you, and it is acquired to you, as well as all of its liens. Mar islay d'Rav Papa. So one opinion, we'll say the Chachamim would hold of Rav Papa, and therefore the Chachamim would say that the reason why in this case, when he says, hiskachli b'shtar chov, that it does not work, is because, again, the husband did not write this shtar to the woman, conveying to her all of the collection and lien rights of this loan. Omar islay d'Rav Papa, and on the other hand, the Chachamim do not hold like Rav Papa. V'ibayisim, another possibility. T'choli ama islu d'Rav Papa. So we'll say, remember, we're just trying to figure out now what the nature of the machlokes is between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. The other possibility. V'ibayisim. T'choli ama islu d'Rav Papa. Everyone agrees with Rav Papa, namely, that if you want to convey a shtar chov, a loan document, to someone else, you have to write a side agreement that says that I hereby give you over this shtar and all of its liens. So let's assume now in this iteration that everyone agrees with Rav Papa. And here they're arguing in the sheet of Shmuel. Because what does Shmuel say? Well, say the Amar Shmuel, top of Mem Chasam Dalev, Hamocher Shtar Chov Lechadero. If someone goes ahead and sells a loan document to his friend, the Chazar Umachlo. And we'll say this is actually an interesting case. So let's say the following situation: I lend money to Reuven, and then I go ahead and I decide to sell the loan to Shimon. And now what happens? I decide then to forgive the loan to Reuven after I've sold it to Shimon. So the Braisa says, Shmuel says, Machul, it works. I have the ability to forgive the debt even after I've sold the debt to another party. Not only that, but if I die and my children inherit, and my inheritors have the ability to be mochel the debt as well. Now, what's the logic over here? So if you look at Rashi, Rashi says, mochel, shehalov alon is chayv lelokeach klum, ela machmas hamocher. So we'll say, essentially, what Shmuel Shita is the following. Shmuel explains that you could really never sell, you the lender, I the lender, can never really sell the full rights to this loan to a third party. Why? Because a loan is something that's personal. I lent Reuven money, and Reuven borrowed money from me. There's a personal relationship that's been established. That relationship is non-transferable. What is transferable is the lien on the debtor's property. So essentially what Shmuel says is when you sell a loan, you're not really, you can't sell the loan itself because that's a unique relationship between lender and borrower. What I do sell is the lien that I have against the borrower's property. I could sell that to a third party. But because at the end of the day, I am still the lender and Reuven is still the borrower, technically speaking, I have the right to forgive the debt. And I will say, of course, if I do forgive the debt, then what happens? Then, of course, Shimon comes after me for collection. Because remember, Shimon bought the loan. So obviously, well, so I can forgive the debt. That's fine. But I'm still going to be on the hook to give Shimon the money. So the Gemara says, Mar Islay de Shmuel. So one opinion holds of Shmuel, namely the Chachamim. And therefore, the Chachamim will say that because I can go ahead and forgive this debt, therefore, it's not a real vehicle that can be properly used for Kiddushin. Umar Leslay the Shmuel. And ultimately, again, Rebbe does not hold of Shmuel. Therefore, because Rebbe holds that once I sell a debt, I no longer have the ability to cancel it, to forgive it. Therefore, this is a proper vehicle for Kiddushin. Vibaisim, another possibility. Everybody holds of Shmuel. Namely, that even after you sell a debt, you have the ability to forgive it. Listen to this. Vahacha b'isha kamiflagi. And here the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim is about the psychology of a woman. Good luck with that one, right? So one opinion holds that let's play this out. Now what we're saying is that Lamaisa, when a man goes ahead and is Mekadishim with a Halvas, remember the case over here is, we call him husband. Husband lent money to someone else. He now is transferring that debt to the woman and is saying, become mikudeshes to me with the value of this debt. Now what we're saying is, now she's accepting that with the knowledge that he could technically what? He could technically cancel that debt at whim. So the Gemara says, Mar Savar Isha Sam Chadaita. So one opinion says, even though the husband has the ability to go ahead and cancel the debt, the woman still commits to accepting this debt as Kiddushin. Why? Meimer Amra. Lo shavik le ledidi umacha le la'achrini. Because the woman says, my husband loves me. He's not going to cancel that debt because he's not going to leave me high and dry without anything to collect. So therefore, if he has a choice between expressing his love for the borrower by going ahead and canceling the debt or expressing his love for me, of course he's going to express his love for me and he's not going to cancel the debt. Umar savar isha nami lo sam chadaita. Whereas the other opinion, and the Chachamim will say no, At the end of the day, a woman is not going to be somich taitan, as we both say, that a woman is not going to commit herself in Kiddushin if payment is not guaranteed. So because in this case, payment is not guaranteed because the husband has the ability to still cancel the debt, therefore she does not enter into Kiddushin under these circumstances. So we both say, so this ends the first version. So remember, up until now, all we've been doing is trying to figure out what is the nature of the machlokus between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim? And in this first machzor, in this first iteration of this machlokus, they're arguing in the middle of a bishtar. They're arguing ultimately again in a written loan document. Now the next version, Milva al Pabba Maikapligi, if you understand the machlokes in Ramir and the Chachamim is about a verbal loan. So how do we understand the machlokes? But Rafuna Amarav, Dom Rafuna Amarav, Manali Biadachatine Liploni Bama Machlashtan Kana. Supposed to listen to this. So according to this first version, they're arguing in the Shita of Rafuna in the name of Rav. Because Rafuna said the name of Rav, will say the following idea. If I say, I have a money in my hand. I have a money in my hand, right? I have $100 in my hand. Give it to Ploni, right? It should be acquired to Reuven. So we'll say, so Rav says that if I make this statement, b'ma'amad shloshtan. Ma'amad shloshtan means in the presence of three people. So if I make this in the presence of three people, the money is transferred to the intended recipient. Look at Rashi. B'ma'amad shloshtan. Amr lo kain kana. Vein tam bedavar. You'll ask, why should this work? So the Gemara answers, it just does. Ma'amad shloshtan, the Gemara suggests, is a halacha l'Moshe Mitzrayim. Because most of you understand, of course, this doesn't make halachic sense. Not only does it not make halachic sense, but it actually flies in the face of many things we know. In general, in order to convey something from one party to another, you need a vehicle of a kinyan. This concept of ma'amad shloshtan says that if I go ahead and express a desire or an intent to go ahead and convey ownership of an item that I presently have, so I have $1,000 in my hand, and I say in front of three people, I want this $1,000 to belong to Reuven. If I say b'mamash in the presence of three people, the money becomes the property of Reuven. So we'll say, I'm sorry. It's like a Beis Din, but even so, I tell you even better. Let's say you go to Beis Din, and you say in front of Beis Din, I want to go ahead and I want to give $1,000 to Reuven. Beis Din will say what? Without this, Beis Din will say, Gege's on day, go ahead. Right, go give it to him. He lives on the corner over there, but you have to convey it to him. The concept of ma'amash lashta means you say something in front of three people, and it's as if it's done. So the Gemara says, Mar sabar ki ka'amar Rav hanimili b'pikadon. So one opinion said, when did Rav say that ma'amash lashta works? That's only with pikadon. That we'll say now. Raki Rashi the Isay Be'en v'sem chadayt the mekabel. So we'll say, so that works with pikadon because pikadon is an object that already exists. However, aval mil that lo. So we'll say. So the interesting question would be the following: let's say I want to do this with a debt. I lent money to Reuven. Reuven owes me $1,000. I would like to convey that debt over to Shimon. What's the easiest way for me to convey it? To go ahead and assemble three people and to say, "B'ma'amach shlushim," in the presence of three people, I give over this debt to Shimon. So we'll say one opinion holds that Rav's concept of ma'amach shlushim only applies with pikadon. A, because it's tangible and it's present, aval b'milva, but with a loan, ma'amat shloshtan will not work. We'll say that's the opinion ultimately of the Chachamim. That's why if a man says, b'ma'amat shloshtan, I am hereby giving over this debt to this woman who I want to marry, let this affect Kiddushin, it does not work. On the other hand, umar sar loshna milva loshna pikadon. On the other hand, the other opinion, i.e. Rebbe holds, though, ma'amat shloshtan works. Both for what? Both for pikadon as well as for debt. And therefore, if a man says to a woman, iskachli b'milva zu, become mekudeshes to me with this debt, Reuven owes me $1,000, I want to convey the right to collect this debt to you, and with this money you'll become mekudeshes to me, and you do this amount of shloshim presence of three people, Rebbe will say it works. Neima ketanoim, so we'll say, let's say this is machlokes tanoim, iskachli b'shtar, man says to a woman, become mikudeshes to me with a shtar. That was said, now we don't know what kind of shtar we're talking about just yet. Rabbi Meir Omer ain't a mikudeshes. Rabbi Meir says it does not work. Rabbi Lazar Omer mikudeshes. Rabbi Lazar says it works. The Chacham Dacham say, interestingly enough, shaman es haniyar. What do? We evaluate the document. Im yeshbo shaver pruta mikudeshes. If the shtar has a value of a pruta, then she's mikudeshes. But Rabbi Savai, she's mikudeshes. Why? That's kesef, right? Because again, it's mikudeshes kesef. Ve'imlav ain't mikudeshes, and if not, she's not mikudeshes. Asks the Gemara, "Hai shtar yechidami? What's the case? What's the case that we're talking about?" Ilei meshtar chov da'achirim. So we'll say, if you want to say that it's talking about a debt that he is owed by someone else, in other words, a debt that he holds against someone else, and he wants to transfer the collection of this debt to the woman, then what? Kash d'Rabbi Meir. The Rabbos, we have a machlokes because Rabbi Meir says. Because Rabbi Meir says before that what? That you can't be mekalachum with the shtarchov. And here he's saying that you can't be mekalachum with the shtarchov. Elo b'shtarchov dida. Oh! Rather, what is it talking about? The debt Rabbi said they were talking about is what? Is her debt. Meaning she owes him money and he's willing to forgive the debt. And for the benefit of forgiving the debt, what should happen? She should become mekudesh as him. But 1 second. Or mekadesh milva kamiflagi. And then it would appear the machlokes in Rabbi Meir Lazar is about whether or not do you give mekadesh woman with a debt. Amram Nachar Meir Yitzchak. No, that's not it. Hacham ayaskinon kigon shekidsha b'shtar she'ina lov edim. Oh, we'll say, what's the case over here? The case over here is where what? He's being mekadesh with the shtar. But we'll say, what kind of shtar? Look at Rashi. Shtar erisin. Oh, we'll say, remember one of the ways, going back to the beginning of the Masechta, one of the ways in which you could affect Kiddushin is how? Shtar. So he's writing with her in a shtar. Hari at mekudeshes li b'shtar zu. What's the problem? What's the problem? Witnesses didn't sign on the shtar. So says the Gemara, Meir Lutame, so Rabbi Meir holds that it's not good. Why? Do Amar Edi Chasima Karsi, because Rabbi Meir is of the opinion of said that what creates an effective shtar? Signatures of witnesses on the shtar. Therefore, in this case, where you have a shtar, but you have no witnesses, then what? Then the Maisa, again, the shtar will not be good. The shtar will not be good because the edim is edi chasim makarsi. Rabbi Lazar Tami, Rabbi Lazar on the other hand holds that no, even if there are no witnesses, the shtar is still good as long as what Rabbi say, as long as there are witnesses who see the giving over of the shtar. Because why edim is makarsi? Because ultimately, again, Rabbi Lazar holds that it's the witnesses who see the giving over of the shtar who ultimately create its effectiveness. But so I will say, so that explains Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Elazar. So remember, Rabbi Meir will hold. We're talking now over here about a case where the husband is giving over a shtar erusin. There are no signatures of witnesses on it. Rabbi Meir holds the shtar is not good because edi chasima karsi. There are no edi chasima. Rabbi Elazar on the other hold says the shtar is good because there are edi mesira. What about the rabbis? Well, remember, what did the rabbanon say? The rabbanon said that if the shtar has what? If the shtar is worth a pruta, then she's mikudesha. If the shtar is not worth a pruta, she's not mikudesha. So what's the pshat? But rabbanon, listen, is amazing. Rabbanon mesafkuli Rabbi Meir Rabbi Elazar. The rabbanon are mesupak. They don't know does the halacha follow Rabbi Meir. Or does Allah follow Rabbi Elazar? Therefore, Hilchach Shamanes Haniyar. Therefore, what did the rabbi say? They give an interesting eight. So what should you do? Evaluate the shtar. So both said the rabbis have a great resolution here. The rabbanon say, look, we don't know is it an effective shtar or not. According to Rabbi Meir, it's not an effective shtar. According to Rabbi Elazar, it is an effective shtar. What do you do in a case of doubt? Very simple. Is the shtar worth a pruta? If the shtar is worth a pruta, Rabbi said, then we could circumvent this entire discussion. How? Because he's not going to be mekayem shtar with the shtar. Well, always he's mekayem shtar with what? Right. With kesef. And therefore, again, say, as long as the shtar has a pruta, which Rabbi Ashas Rabbi said a shtar would have, then lemaisa shall be mekudeshes. Incredible. V'bayseima. Another possibility is what the machlokes from Meir and the Chachamim is. Kigon shekastvu shelo l'shma. Oh. Rabbi said, another possibility is that no, he's giving her a shtar. Rabbi said, and a shtar kiddushin. But what's the problem? The shtar was written shalo lishma. The shtar is a shtar kiddushin written not for the sake of the woman. Ubud Reish Lakish kamiflagi. And Rabbi said, the machloka says in the shita Reish Lakish, the bar Reish Lakish, shtar erusin shekasvu shalo lishma mahu. Because Reish Lakish has the following kasha. Rabbi said, if you have a shtar erusin, which means again a shtar that says hari at mekudeshes li. Does that shtar have to be written lishma for the sake of the woman or not? So on one hand, mahu havil yitzia makshinon. On one hand, maybe we compare marriage to divorce. Ma yitzia ba'ina lishma af avia nami ba'ina lishma. Just like a get, right, requires lishma. So too the document that creates marriage, a shtar kiddushin, a shtar irisin, should also require lishma. Odim, the other possibility is havios ladadi makshinon. Or perhaps no, we don't compare a shtar irisin to a get, but rather we compare the various forms of kiddushin with one another. Ma'aviyah de kesef lo baya lishma. But just like if you're mekadesh shumah with the kesef, you don't need the money to be specifically minted for the woman, right? They don't need specifically minted kesef kiddushin. Any money will do. Afaviyah de shtar lo baya lishma. So if you use a shtar, it also doesn't have to be the shma. Baser de baya hadir bashta. So we'll say after we posed this question, we then answered it. V'yatza v'haisa, the gzer shava v'yatza v'haisa, makish havia liyitzia. We compare ultimately marriage to divorce. So therefore, again, we'll say, what does that say? That says that lamaisa, again, just like a get has to be lishma, so too the shtar irisin has to be lishma as well. Mar is lady Reish Lakish. So I will say one opinion holds of Reish Lakish, namely that the shtar has to be lishma. Or mar less lady Reish Lakish, and the other opinion does not hold of Reish Lakish, and therefore the shtar does not have to be lishma. V'boisim, a second possibility, or a third possibility is. I'm sorry. The chachamim will hold of the correct. The chachamim will be masupak. The price will be mesupak. Does Allah follow Reish Lakish or not? And therefore, again, we just correct. You do the workaround. Meaning, when you're in doubt about the authenticity of the shtar, the easiest workaround is kesef. That is correct.
Doesn't that answer his mayor as well? Once the shtar is worth a pruta, doesn't that eliminate the?
Correct. Meaning, again, the way we'll say like this, going back to the Braisa, so one opinion will hold the Reish Lakish, and therefore, again, it'll be Rabbi Meir, and therefore, the Maisa, again, shall be Nikudash. That's because we'll set up the cases where the Shtar is Lishma. The Chum will hold that it's a case of Shalom, Lishma. Excuse me. Who was argued on. Right. Who was the other opinion? Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar will say that the case. Excuse me, Rabbi Meir will say it's a case of where the shtar was not written l'shma. Rabbi Elazar will say it's a case of where the shtar was written l'shma, and the chachamim are mesupak whether or not we hold like Reish Lakish altogether, and therefore will default to kesef. Another possible Rabbi says what? Everyone holds like Reish Lakish, namely that everyone holds that the shtar has to be lishma. V'hacham I asking on what's the case? Shekasvu shelishma b'shalomi daita. What's another interesting discussion? What's the case over here? We wrote the shtar lishma, but what shalomi daita? Rabbi says shalomi daita means what? Without her knowledge, meaning he's surprising her. He's surprising her. So what does he do? He writes for her a shtar kiddushin that is lishma, but she doesn't know about. And Rabbi say we just stepped into this major machlokis of Rava, Ravina, Rav Papa, Rav Sharvia. The Itmar, Kasav lishma v'shalomi daita. If you wrote the shtar kiddushin for the sake of the woman, but without her knowledge, Rava, Ravina, Amri mikudeshes. Rava and Ravina say she's mikudeshes. Rav Papa, Rav Sharvia say eina mikudeshes. Therefore, Rabbi say again. So now, if you read this back into the brisa, what will happen? If you read this back into the brisa. Say over here that Rabbi Meir holds that Lamaisa Shalomi Daita is not good. Therefore, he'll hold that if you use this type of shtar, she's not mikudeshes. Rabbi Lazo will say that even a shtar Shalomi Daita will be good, and therefore will be mikudeshes. And again, once again, the Chacham Mar Mesupak. And therefore, because they're Mesupak, whether or not the shtar is to be Daita or not, therefore what? Will default to Kasef. As long as the shtar is Shaver Pruta, we'll be okay. Neima Kahani Tanoi. So we'll say, let's say that at the end of the day, this machlokes is like, if you look at the first line of Rashi, Kahani Tanoi, Mikalish Mov Lishmait Dav. Now, Bosse, now we're going full circle a little bit. So remember again, the fundamental machlokes that started all of this off was what? Whether or not you can be Mikalish woman with a halva. Can you be Mikalish woman with a loan? That is the fundamental machlokes that we are looking at over here. Everything that we've done, that has been a spin off of that. So the Gemara now is suggesting, let's say the machlokes Rav and Shmuel about whether or not you can be mekadesh with a halva is the following machlokes on this sanyo. Asali shirim nizamim v'tabos v'kadesh ani l'cha. Kevan sha'asan mikudash. It's the Rabbi Meir. So we'll listen to this. So let's say a woman gives a man gold. She gives him a block of gold and she says to him, make for me shirim nizamim tabos. Make for me bracelets, nose rings, and rings. So she gives him the gold, and she asks him to fashion it into jewelry. So what happens? Vakadish ani lecha. And if you do this, I will become mikudeshes to you. So what Talach Rabbi Meir says, as long as the craftsman does the work, ultimately, again, she is mikudeshes. Now look at Rashi. Rashi says, vakadish ani lecha. Now, we'll say what it sounds like is happening over here is she's saying you're going to give me the value of your work. In other words, you're going to take my gold, you're going to make it into jewelry for me, and you're not going to charge me. And the value that you would have charged me, ultimately, again, I will become mikudeshes to you. Rabbi Meir says it works. The Chum, on the other hand, says, no, it does not work until what? It does not work ultimately until the money reaches her hands. Right? In other words, so Gemara says, Mamon, hey, hi Mamon, hey Chidami, what's the case of money? What are you talking about over here? Ilema osa Mamon. If you want to say ultimately that it's that money, in other words, we'll say, if you want to say that what the Chum are saying is like this, it works. But it only works when he returns the finished product of the jewelry to her. So that's obvious. The Gemara says, "Michlad Tanakama Sarafilu Osa Mamon Namilo." Are you saying that according to the Chachamim that she would become mikudeshes even before he returns the money? In other words, the jewelry? That doesn't make sense. We'll say, of course, meaning everyone's going to it. Meaning even Rabbi Meir is going to say, even Rabbi Meir says mikudeshes when he returns the finished product to her and ultimately again gives her the value of his services. But Lamaisa, again, before he returns the jewelry, of course, even the Chachamim would agree that she's not going to be mikudeshes. So the Gemara says, Ella b'may bo mikadsha. Rather, so what does it mean when it says, what does he mean mikadisha with? Ella la b'mamon acher. Rather, it must be that according to the Chachamim Rabosai, the Chachamim are saying that this setup doesn't work. setup doesn't work at all, meaning when she gives him the gold and she says to him, make for me jewelry and I become a kudeshes to you with the value of the services that you have rendered. The Chacham say this does not work. Rather, what does he have to do? In order to be mekadesh, what is he going to have to do? Mamon acher. He's going to have to give her additional monies. Ushmamina, the mekadesh mevokum eflagi. The Rabbos say, now what it sounds like they're arguing about is what? It sounds like what they're arguing about is whether or not a man can be mekadesh with a halva. Rabbos say, now where do you see a halva in here? The halva is very simple. What's the halva? The halva is the value of his services. She gives him gold. He performs for her a service. She owes him money for that service. That owed money is called what? It's called a debt. Now what she says is, be mekadesh me with that debt. In other words, cancel the debt. So the Chachamim say, sorry, you came in Kaddish with Alva. Rabbi Meir says, yes, you came in Kaddish with Alva. Rabbi says, one more piece here. B'sabi d'chuli alma, yeshna l'schiros mitchila v'atsof, v'havi milva. Rabbi says, this requires one other piece of information, which is, yeshna l'schiros mitchila v'atsof, which literally means, there is payment for a hired worker from the beginning until the end. Rabbi says, now look at Rashi for just a moment. Rashi says over here, Not yet. So we'll say, what does this mean? So we're going to see, actually, take a look at that, Rashi. So what's the loan over here? We'll say, what does that mean, that your schiros from beginning to end? Listen to this. It's actually quite fascinating. When someone does work for you, so how do we view that arrangement? So we're going through the fundamental machlokis in halacha. Do you say that essentially every little bit of work is an accrued debt? So we'll say, this is just the yisodas digdin in general in choshen mishpat. Now what does that mean? So let's say I go ahead and what? I go ahead and I hire someone to build an addition on my house. So they start the project. The project's going to be $50,000. So do I say every single day they come to work that there's a part of a debt that's accrued? So let's say Monday they showed up, they did $3,000 worth of work. So I now owe them $3,000. And every day that work happens, there's accrued debt. Or do we say no, there's no accrued debt? Rather, what happens? What happens when the debt is finished, or when the job is finished, I owe them now X amount of dollars. So we'll say, the Gemara is saying that according to this approach, we are presupposing yeshna l'schiros mitchila v'atzof, which means that when a worker does work, that work accrues as the work goes on, and therefore a debt accrues as well. So every single day when the work is finished, there's a debt that I, the hirer, I don't know if that's the right word, but I, the hirer, ultimately, again, owe this guy. So we'll say, so now, therefore what? Let's put this into this case. Therefore, in this case over here, woman gives the man a chunk of gold. She says to him, make jewelry for me. So no problem. So it's going to take a week. So what happens? Monday, he works, he accrues some debt. Tuesday, he works, he accrues some debt. And what happens? There's a milva, there's a halva'a now that she owes him. Now what's happening when he gives her back the jewelry? He's giving her the jewelry. She owes him money. She owes him a debt. What is he doing? He's forgiving the debt, and he's saying, with the value of that debt forgiveness, you should become mikudeshes to me. So again, Rabbi Meir says, it works. Chachamim say, it doesn't work. So,
at the end, or during the
process? You could say that on the third day?
No, this is happening at the end. This is happening at the end.
So
because
right.
Oh, Patience. We're going to see it. Good. You're going to see what the nafka mina is in just a little bit. So both say, so again, this will be a case of where a man is being mekadesh with a halva, with a debt. Rabbi Meir says it works. Chacham says it doesn't work. So both say, all the Gemara is just trying to point out over here is the machlokes Rav and Shmuel that we had already 2 days ago, but whether or not you could be mekadesh with a halva. Right, Rav and Shmuel are Amoraim. So all the Gemara is pointing out over here is the Machlokes Rav and Shmuel is also in Machlokes Tanoim, Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. To which the Gemara says, V'hacha, are they not arguing about the following point? One opinion, i.e. Rabbi Meir says, if you're mekadesh with the halva, you're mekudeshes. Umar savar hamekadesh milva ain't mekudeshes. And the Chama on the other hand say no, that if you're mekadesh with the halva, she is not mekudeshes. To which the Gemara says, lo, This is not the case. The chuli alma mekadesh b'milva eina mekudeshes. The Gemara is saying no. It's not true. That's not the machlokas here. Both Rabbi Meir and the Chum will agree that you cannot be mekadesh with a halva. So what's the issue over here? V'acha b'yeshna l'schiros mitchila v'atzof kamiflagi. Oh, I will say here the machlokas is not whether or not you can mekadesh with a halva. Everyone agrees. You can't be mekadesh shomun with a debt for all the reasons we've stated already. So what is the machlokas over here? So the Gemara says the machlokas over here is hacha b'yeshna l'schiras mitchila v'atzof kamiflagi. Here I will say the machlokas is how do we view the debt? How do we view the money that the woman owes the man in this situation? Mar sover, one opinion holds ein l'schiras ela l'basof. I will say there is no accrued debt that happens when someone does work for you. Rather, again, there's just a bunch of money owed at the end. Look at Rashi. Eino l'schiros el l'basof, kishemachzirem lo. So both say, in this case, when does she owe him the money? It doesn't accrue as he's doing the work. Rather, what happens? She owes him the money at the end. V'har l'shem kiddushin hu, moch lo etzla, ve'ein kan milva kishemachzirem lo. So both say, so Ari asked before, what's the nafkamina if you hold yeshlan l'schiros mitchil v'atzof? There's a very simple nafkamina. If you hold that payment accrues, so we'll say, how do you view the accrued payment? No. Accrued payment is a halva. If, on the other hand, you hold essentially it's a COD, that at the end of the day, I'm going to give you back the finished product, you're going to give me the money. There's no halva there, I will say. There's just a payment for services. That's the nafkamina. So therefore, again, I will say, plugging that in over here, the following. Let's take this case. She gives him the chunk of gold on a Monday. He brings it back to her on Friday. Here you go. Here is your bracelets, your earrings, and your rings. What happened? We're done. No internet. We don't have internet. Cholamayit. So we'll say, so listen to this. So now understand. So listen, so let's play this out. He gives her the chunk of gold. She gives him the chunk of gold on Sunday. He gives it back to her on Friday, and he gives her back all the finished products. So we'll say, so now the question is, what does she want? She wants him to be mekadesh her with the value of the services rendered, right? I would only owe you $1,000 for everything. You're going to forgive that to me. We'll come mekadesh. So does it work? The Gemara says, well, it depends. But it doesn't depend on whether or not you can mekadesh with halva. Everyone agrees that what? You can't be mekadesh a woman with a halva. The shaila is this a halva or not? And that depends on how you view this arrangement. If you hold yeshna l'schiros mitchila v'atzof, that when the man was doing work on the gold, every single day the work that he did was an accrued debt to her, then ein hakinami. This is a halva. This is a halva. And therefore, again, it will not work to affect kiddushin. If on the other hand you say, no, there is no accrued work, but rather, again, payment is due at the end, right? I finished the work, I'm giving you $1,000 of merchandise. Essentially, it's a sale. It's a sale. I'm giving you merchandise that's worth $1,000. You're going to give me back the money. And therefore, there's no halva over here. And therefore, what? It will work to affect kiddushin. So you understand, this has major nafkaminas, not just by kiddushin. This has major nafkaminas by when somebody bails out of work that they were doing for you. I hired someone to do a project. And what happens? They do half a project. So this is the major choshen mishpat shayla. So am I chayiv to pay for half a project or not? Right. So again, this is this machlokes. If you hold yeshna l'schiros mitchila v'atzov, that means yes, I'm chayiv to pay for work done. One second, you left me, with a half an addition, and now you're leaving. And Bosa, you know that if you have to bring in someone else to finish off half the addition, by the way, it's going to cost you a lot more money, right? But nevertheless, again, the guy did work for me. I have to pay him for his work. Or no. There's no such thing as yeshna l'schiros mitchila. I hire you to do a job. You get payment when the job is done. So say again, that machlokis is what is playing out over here between Rabbi Meir and the Chacham. Rabbi Meir holds that eino l'schiros mitchila v'atzof. We do not view work done as on an accrual level, but rather, again, you get paid for services at the end. Therefore, when you come and you show up with the rings and with all of the finished gold products, the woman's going to pay you for the finished products. Your kiviyachol is like a sale, it's like a transaction. And therefore, yes, if he forgives that amount of money, he can be mekadesh with that value. On the other hand, Chachamim will say, no, yeshna l'schiros mitchila v'atzof. The money accrues. So because the money accrues, ultimately, again, it's considered a debt. And therefore, if he forgives that, that's called debt forgiveness. And lemaisa kiddushin will not work. So let's just finish the sugya. The other possibility is, no, everyone holds that it works on an accrual basis. And that, again, as the worker does the work, the amount that she owes him accrues. And therefore, both say, if it accrues, then what? Then what? Then that is called the halva. And so we'll say, so if everyone agrees that yeshna l'schiros mitchilavat sof, and everyone agrees, you can't even kaddish shulim without a halva, v'hacha, oh, this is very interesting, v'hacha b'uman kone b'shevach kli k'miflegi. What are they arguing about? They're all saying, they're arguing about, does an uman, does a craftsman go ahead and acquire with shevach kli? Now we'll say, now what does that mean? Look at Rashi. V'hacha b'uman kone, kilomar hacha b'shelo hisna lihio schir yamim, El kablon shekibel alav ligmor hamalach bekach lekachu ba'osan uba uman kablon kishu mashbicho ba'asam razav kli kona lezechus bekli kishu mashbicho. Listen to this. The shaila is the following: if somebody is not a hired worker, a daily worker, so we'll say if somebody is a daily worker, what we call a schir yom, so then obviously again their salary is based on their daily job. What happens in the following situation? I give the uman a chunk of gold. And now, obviously, I'm telling the uman, I want you to give me back a finished product. So we'll say, so listen to this. So the shaila is, does the uman, does the craftsman acquire the improvements to the kli? As well said, there's a way of looking at it like this. If I give the uman a chunk of gold, and he goes ahead and fashions it into jewelry, he essentially owns that newfound value in the gold. That's ona, that's uman kona b'shevach kli. The uman, the craftsman acquires the newly minted product, or the, no, that's not the right word. The uman acquires the additional value, the improvements. He acquires the improvements in the kli. And therefore, I will say, the way this works on a transactional level is the following. So let's leave aside kiddush for just a moment. I give the uman a chunk of gold. I ask the fashion the jewelry. When he fashions the jewelry, he's improving the gold. He acquires that improvement. What happens when the job is done? He comes to me and essentially says what? Says what? Do you want to buy my improvements? Do you want to buy my improvements? And I have the prerogative to say yes or no. But that he's selling me something that he owns. So we'll say, watch this. This is amazing. So mar savar uman kone b'shevach kli. So one opinion holds that a uman acquires improvements. And therefore we'll say, watch this, play this out. Let's plug this into the case of Kiddushin. Therefore, if the uman acquires the improvements in the kli, then what? Then what? Then when he shows up to the woman and says, I'm going to be mekudeshes to you with the improvements of the kli, then what? The kiddushin works. Why? Because he's giving her an item of value. Umar sabar in uman kone b'shevach kli. The other opinion says, no, an uman does not go ahead and acquire b'shevach kli. And therefore, both say, if you hold that a uman does not acquire improvements, then what? Then we're back to where we started with. Because remember, according to this version, everyone holds yesh schiros mitchila v'atsof, and everyone holds ein kiddushin b'halva. So we'll say, if you hold that, then ultimately we're back to the drawing board where he's going to be mekhalishur ultimately with a loan, which will not work. V'boy say another possibility. These are all fascinating concepts because you understand already that the application of these concepts are so far-reaching. The other passage is everyone holds that a uman does not acquire improvements. The yeshna l'schiros mitchila v'atsof. And again, and when somebody is a worker and working on something, the debt, I should say, the wages owed to them accrue and ultimately morph into a loan. It doesn't work. And what's the case? Oh, kigon shahol sifla nofech mishalo. Oh, Rabbi, say, what's the case here? The case where she gives him a block of gold to fashion into jewelry, and what does he do? He adds in a gem of his own. He has it. He puts in a gem of his own. Nofach is a gem. Demar savra milva upruta daite apruta. Supposed to listen to this. And therefore, one opinion holds that now, boss, when he comes back to her at the end of the day, making her gold into jewelry, and now there's an additional piece over here of what? There's an additional piece of jewelry in there. So, boss, I said now there are two possibilities. So, what he's being mekadisha with? Possibility number one is what? Possibility is with a debt. Because remember, again, we're holding yeshna l'schiros mitchila v'atsof. Our possibility two is what? with the extra pruta value of the jewel that he put into her jewelry. So one opinion says that when there's a choice between alva and a pruta, daite a pruta, his intention is to mekadesh with the pruta, umar savar daite a milva. And the other opinion says no, that his das is still going to be that I'm being mekadesh ultimately again through the halva, ultimately that I'm forgiving. And this machlokis is really another machlokis on this sanyo. So both say, remember, according to this iteration, according to this version, the shaila is what's the das of the man? Remember, when the man returns the jewelry to her, he's essentially conveying to her two things. Debt forgiveness, because remember, you owe me money, that money accrued as I was working on your jewelry, bless you. So there's debt forgiveness, and there's also the additional gem, bless you, there's also the additional gem that I'm putting into your jewelry. So the shaila is, what is his das? What is his das on? Is his das on the piece of jewelry? Is his das on the gem? Or is his das on the forgiveness of debt? Rabbi, so you understand, you ask yourself, well, I don't understand, why wouldn't his das just be on the gem? Because Rabbi, so remember, the value of the forgiven debt could be much more than the gem. So the shaila is just, what do people focus on in these things? So the Gemara says the following. The Gemara says, this is another machlokes tanoim. Tisanya, bischarsha sisi mach ilim mikudashas. Everyone agrees that if a man did work for a woman, and then he says to her, become mikudashas to me with the schar, with the financial amount, or with the financial value of the work I've done for you. In other words, he's forgiving the work. Ena mikudeshas. We'll say why? Because that is the value of halva, right? Bischar she'asimach. What if he says to the following, that I'm going to do work for you. I'm going to do work for you. I'm going to build the deck. Right? I'm going to build the deck. So the value of the deck I'm about to build, you should become mikudeshas to me with that. So we'll say, so what happens in this case? Rabbi Nosson Omer. Bischar she'asimach. Ena mikudeshas. V'choshekin b'schar she'asisimach. So Rabbi Nosson says neither works. It doesn't work if you say, becoming kodeshes with the value of the work I've done for you, past tense. Why? That's a halva, that's a loan, right? And it doesn't work even if you say with the value of the work I will do for you. Right? So Rabbi Nosson says, so b'schar she'asimach, fine. So Rashi says over here, b'schar she'asimach, actually no, not yet. Rabbi Nosson, I'm sorry, look at Rabbi Nosson. Omer b'schar she'asimach in mekodeshes. Because again, at the end of the day, Rabbi Nosson says, whether you pledge the value of the work you've done or the work you will do, either way the net effect is the same, which is what? It's a halva. So on the other hand, Rabbi Huda Nosi, or Rabbi Huda Nosi says, Be'emes amru, bein b'schar she'asisi, bein b'schar she'aseimach inu mekudeshes. Rabbi Huda Nosi says, at the end of the day, whether he said the value of the work that I will do or the value of the work that I have done, she's not nikudashas. Why, Rabbi? Because at the end of the day, it's halva. However, im hosif la nofach mishalo mikudashas. But Rabbi, if he added something of his own in, then what? She will be mikudashas ultimately again with the value of what he added in. So says the Gemara, bein l'tanakam, bein l'rabbi, Rabbi Nosson, ikaminayhu. So we'll say, between l'tanakam and Rabbi Nosson, what's the machlokas? So the nafkamina will be schirus. Again, the machlokas is even will be, yeshna l'schirus mitchila v'atzof, or inu l'schirus mitchila v'atzof, bein Rabbi Nosson, bein Rabbi Huda, what's the nafkamina between Rabbi Nosson and Rabbi Huda, ha'ika v'inayhu malve upruta. So we'll say, the nafkamina between them will be a case where a man is being mekadishim with a halva, but he added in an additional pruta. Mars of a milva o pruta daite milva. One opinion says that Rabbi said the das of the man is on the halva because again, just on a simple level, it has greater value. Umar savar daite a pruta. The other opinion says no, his das is ultimately is going to be on the pruta. So Rabbi said. So bottom line, by the way, halacha lemaisa. Halacha lemaisa. So how do we paskin? So first of all, Rabbi, the way paskin is, to make a very long story short, you can't be mekadesh with a halva. That's the bottom line, right? So all of that, right? In mekachin v'halva, we can't go ahead and mekadesh with a halva. Rabbi say, because again, why? Why? Very simple principle. Because milva lahotza'a nitna, ultimately, again, the halva ultimately becomes the property of the borrower. Therefore, although this sounds strange, when he forgives the debt, he's not giving her anything additional that she did not already own. And therefore, again, Abosi came in Kaddish. And by the way, that's true even if she did not yet spend the money. So both sides say, even if the money's still sitting on the table, I gave her $1,000 yesterday and today, I said, become kedusha with that money. You still give me kedusha with that money. Why? Because as soon as it hits her table, it's what? It's hers. And therefore, Rabbi said, we also paskin that once you give the money, you cannot what? You cannot recall it. And we also paskin that once you give the money, the borrower automatically becomes chayiv and all onsin. In everything that happens, which makes sense. Once I can't recall it, then obviously it makes sense that the borrower becomes chayiv and all onsin. How else do we paskin? We also paskin yeshna v'schilos mitchilah lazon. Rabbi said, now this is a much more involved discussion, but just for just basic psak halacha, we hold that when a person does work, so they acquire payment, or they are entitled to payment incrementally for the work they've done. So if I hire someone to build an addition, so they are entitled to monies for every bit of work that they do, which means if they bail out, I'm chayv to pay them for work done. Now I'm simplifying a much more complex situation. I might be chayv to pay them for work done, but by the way, if it costs me more money now to finish the project, they are on the hook for the extra money that it costs me to finish the project. And of course, I will say, this is all barring any stipulations, meaning I could stipulate whatever I want. So if I hire someone to do work, and I say to them, I'm hiring you to do the job, here's the job, it's a $50,000 addition, and understand, you are entitled to nothing unless the job is finished and the parties agree to that. So, of course, whatever parties agree to, you could always put down on paper. But in the absence of an agreement, the default will be yeshna l'schiros mitchila v'atsof, which means, again, the worker accrues payment for his services as the services are rendered. Says the Mishnah. Heskalishli b'koz zesha yayin. Another interesting case. Then it says, "Mikami kudesh says to me with this cup of wine, v'nimsa shel devash." And it also, it turns out that it's not a cup of wine, but rather, again, it's a cup of honey. Shel devash v'nimsa shel yayin. It says, "Mikami kudesh with a cup of honey," and it turns out that it's wine. Or bedinor zeh shel kesef v'nimsa shel zav. Or he says to her, "Mikami kudesh says to me with this dinar of silver," and it turned out that it was a dinar of gold. Shel zav v'nimsa shel kesef. Or "Mikami kudesh says to me with this dinar." Of gold, and it turned out to be silver. Or Amanas Shani Ashir Benim Tsani. So many use this line, right? Become a Kodesh to me on the condition I'm a rich man, right? I'm gonna be a rich man, or I am a rich. Not I'm gonna be. I am a rich man. Benim Tsani. It turns out that I'm poor. So both say or Ani Benim Tsa Ashir. So become a Kodesh to me on the condition that I'm a poor man, and it turns out that he's rich. Or we'll say in all of these cases, ain't a mikudeshes. So we'll say, the bottom line in all of these cases, what Rabbi say, right, that the information is different than what I was told. Right? Than what she was told. So because the information was different than what she was told, therefore again, the kiddushin is void. Rabbi Shimon Omer, im hitel shvach mikudeshes. Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's not so true. Meaning, if the information is wrong, but, it's better than what she expected, then she's mikudeshes. If the information is wrong, and it's worse than what she was led to believe, so for example, if I told her, become mikudeshes in the condition that I'm poor, and it turns out that I'm rich, or become mikudeshes with this dinar of silver, and it turns out that it's gold, Rabbi Shimon will say, in those cases, lemaisa, she will be mikudeshes. But where the new information is objectively detrimental, she will not be mikudeshes. Says the Gemara, ten rabbon, and it's kachli, because zeh, so we have a brisa that says, the man says, when become mikudeshes, dishes to me with this cup. Tani chada. So one price it says bo ubemasha besocho. So I both say when evaluating whether or not it's a shara pruta, we look at the contents of the cup and the cup itself. The Tanya idach. Another price it said bo v'lo masha besocho. Another price I both say said what? Only the cup and not what's in it. The Tanya idach. And a third price it said v'masha besocho v'lo bo. Third price it said what's inside the cup and not the cup itself. So we'll say, so I don't say, so in all of these, so how do we reconcile all these bribes?
It says Zingmar.
Oh, so it says Zingmar, Lokasha, Habemaya, Habechamra, Habetzira. We'll say, when you give the woman a cup with stuff in it, so whether or not the cup itself is included as part of the Kiddushin depends on the contents of the cup. If I'm giving her a cup of water, so we'll say the water itself is valueless, therefore it's clear that what? That the Kiddushin is being affected with the cup. If I'm giving her wine, so we'll say it's the wine that has the value, and I'm just giving her the cup as the vehicle to drink the wine, but what? I want the cup back. Tzira. So we'll say everyone knows that when you give someone a cup full of fish brine, Right? This is my, so you know this. What happens? So I'll say fish brine was used as a dip. So what happened? You know that when you buy a jar of fish brine, it's going to last you for a while. So what happens? When I give the person the cup with the fish brine, the intention is what? I'm giving them the cup as well. Because obviously, because the fish brine is going to sit in there for a while, therefore, again, the cup is part of the akna also. Therefore, I will say what the Gemara says, essentially, is whether or not the cup is part of the kiddushin depends ultimately, again, on what is being conveyed in the cup. So the Gemara goes weiter. Im hitel shvach hari zim kudesh. So also remember, Rabbi Shimon has something very interesting. Rabbi Shimon said that Lamaisa, if the mistake in the kiddushin was beneficial to her. Now I will say it's interesting. Rabbi Shimon is defining beneficial how? In objective terms. We assume that gold is more beneficial than silver. We assume ultimately again that being rich is of greater benefit than being poor. Right? So therefore Lamaisa, again Rabbi Shimon says, if the mistake was l'shvach to her benefit, then the kiddushin is good. Says the Gemara. But less later Rabbi Shimon yayin v'nimtza chometz. Chometz v'nimtza yayin shnei yichol lachzer. But I'm supposed to listen to this. You know, there's another issue here. The other issue over here is what? We'll say, let's say in a regular choshen mishpah case, I go ahead and I go to Reuven and say, Reuven, I want to buy a barrel of vinegar. And what happens? He sells me a barrel of wine. Right? Or I want to buy a barrel of wine, he sells me a barrel of vinegar. We'll say, in that case, I have the right to void the sale. What do you see from there? Amma, so according to Rabbi Shimon, you see, Rabbi Shimon would say, it would seem to be on the case of Shimon, that Rabbi Shimon would say, if I say to a woman, become mikudeshes to me on the with this cup of wine, and it turned out, excuse me, with this cup of vinegar, and it turned out to be wine, Rabbi Shimon would say what? She's mikudeshes. Why? Because you make the automatic assumption that wine is better than vinegar. Says, that's not necessarily true. We'll say, if I want to buy a barrel of vinegar, and what? And it turns out that Reuben sells me a barrel of wine. I say, I want to avoid the sale. And Reuben will say, but it's, I gave you a barrel. I mean, this is like, you know, 1924, right? You know, so this is of objective benefit to you. I say, that's fine. So I don't need wine, right? I need vinegar. So we'll say, so what's the point of Gemara saying over here? Rabbi Shimon, you are creating objective categories of benefit, but that doesn't necessarily work. Lemay says sometimes benefit is determined subjectively, not objectively. So hachanami ikad denechali bekasba for the echali bedava. We'll say, now there'll be some people for whom silver is more beneficial than gold. So we'll say, there's a very simple reason why silver is more beneficial than gold, and that's why, it's usability in the marketplace. Right? We'll say, if you walk into 7 Mile Market with a block of gold, right? So what's going to happen? So they'll take it? Maybe Seasons will take it. That's all right. But you know, so the issue over here is that, again, as much as I say gold has greater value, but Lamai said there are some people who would rather have silver than gold. So Moshe, the point over here that the Gemara is making is, Reb Shimon, you are saying that if something is of objective greater benefit than something else, then the Kiddushin should be good. But just because the way Reb Shimon seems to be determining benefit or objective benefit is how? Value. And all the Gemara is just saying is that Lemaisa, value does not always determine what is better. So Rabbi Ashi said, I found Abaye who was sitting and explaining this Mishnah to his son in the following way. Hacham asking, Rabbi Ashi, what's the case of the Mishnah? The case of the Mishnah is the following. I say to my shaliach, do me a favor, lend me a silver dinar, and with that silver dinar, go and be mekadesh this woman for me. I want to be mekadesh Rachel, but I don't have the money on me. I'm short of cash right now. Do me a favor and lend me a silver dinar. So lend me a silver dinar, go mekadesh her. What happens? V'halach v'hil v'shal zav. So what happens? We'll say, so the shliach goes, and he's mekadesh Rachel for me, but only one distinction, which is what? He used a gold dinar instead of a silver one. So mar savar kapeda. So we'll say, so one opinion holds. One opinion holds, the first opinion in the Mishnah, that no, when I told the Shaliach to use a silver dinar, I will say, I'm machbin on that. I only want to use silver. Look at Rashi, Kapeda. I wanted him to use silver and not anything else. And therefore, because he violated my instructions, therefore what? The shlichus is not good, which means what? The kiddushin is not good either. The other opinion says, no, I will say, Mara Makum means what? It's just a suggestion. I'm telling you, go ahead and give her an item of value. Look at Rashi. So listen to this. So therefore, what I was saying to the Shleach is, look, Rachel is a simple girl. She'll even accept silver. Right? I was telling him what she will even accept. But Lamaisa, the fact that he gave her gold, I'm okay with that as well. So we'll say that. So the Gemara is suggesting that's the machlokis in the Mishnah. Tanakama holds that when I tell my shaliach a silver dinar, when I say silver, what do I mean? I mean silver. And Reb Shimon says, no, that's not really what I mean. It's just the maramakum. Meaning, again, what I'm saying is, I can tell you, Rachel would not become mikudeshes for less than a silver dinar. More certainly, but not less. If that's the case in the Mishnah, his kachi lomi boile. If that's the case, we'll say that we're talking about over here, that the case of the Mishnah is where I appointed a shaliach, then the Mishnah should not read his kachi li, which means becoming kudeshti. How should the Mishnah read his kachi lo? Because the Mishnah then should be talking about a case of where the shaliach is saying to the woman, become kudeshes to silver. So it should say his kachi lo, become kudeshes to him. Furthermore, Hita l'shvach, why does it say again that he made a mistake for her? That he misled her in a beneficial way. Hita ehu l'shvach mibayale. The Mishnah should read what? The Shaliach misled me, the Mishaliach, for her benefit. Nimtza, so why does it say Nimtza, that it was found to be Zav. Meikaranami Zav Havi. Why does it say Nimsa? Well, say Nimsa makes it sound like they discovered something. From the beginning, the Shaliach brought a silver dinar. Ella, so well, say, therefore, the Gemara says, you're right, this interpretation of the Mishnah does not work. Rather, we have to reinterpret the Mishnah. Ella, Omar Rava, Aniva Arisha Bechabura, Targumina. So rather, Rava said, me, and the line of the Chabur, the other great Talmud Chacham of our group, and who is it? The Monday Rabbi Chiyama Avin said, what's the case? Hacham I ask, Kigon Sha'amra Hilishlucha. Say the kabel likidushimi ploni. Oh, we'll say, what's the case of the Mishnah? The case of the Mishnah is where a woman says to her agent, go and accept kesef kidushin for me from ploni, from so-and-so. Sha'amar li hiskanshi li bedinar shel kesef. Because what happened? So the woman says to Shaliach, listen, Ruvain said to me, become mikudeshes to me with a dinar of kesef. So I know he's going to give me a dinar of kesef. So you, my shaliach, go and accept that dinar from me. And what happens? V'halach v'naslon dinar shalzav. And what happens? Last minute, the Baal changed his mind, and the man gave her shaliach a dinar shalzav. Mar savar kepeda. So one opinion says, what's Rabbi Osai? That when the woman says to her shaliach, go and accept from me a dinar shal kesef. So what is she saying? She's makbid. Only a dinar shal kesef and nothing else. Umar savar mara makom huilo. And the other opinion says, no, the woman says, look, go and get for me the dinar shal kesef, because that's what the guy said beforehand. But the truth is, whatever he gives you is ultimately fine. Umay nimtza. And what does it mean ultimately again when it says that she found that it was the dinar shal kesef, shal zahav, the katsayer bivlisa, that ultimately what happened? That the dinar was wrapped in a cloth. So that when the shaliach received it, when the woman immediately received it, she did not know what it is. So we'll stop over here for today. So this is now our interpretation of the Mishnah. So the Gemara's interpretation of the Mishnah is we're talking about a case where there was an agreement already between the parties. The man already said to the woman, I'm going to give you a dinar of kesef to go ahead and become mikudeshes to me. I'm giving you a dinar shal kesef. Fine. So she sends her shaliach to accept a dinar shal kesef, and then what happens? Turns out the man changes his mind and gives the shaliach a dinar shal zav. Now, no one knows about this until it gets back. It's nimtza. Why? Because the husband wrapped up the dinar, gave it to the shaliach, gives it to him, she unwraps it. What does she see? What does she find? A dinar shal zav. So first opinion says, Tanakama will say that because the arrangement, the agreement was kesef, therefore her akpada is on kesef, and she will not commit herself to kiddushin for zav, therefore the kiddushin is not good. Rabbi Shimon says, come on, what are you talking about? Right? If he would have said a dinar shel kesef, and he would have sent her an apple, I hear, she's not going to accept that, but if he said a dinar shel kesef, and he gives her a dinar shel zav, why wouldn't she commit herself? Come on, right? So hita l'shvach, it's going to be fine, and therefore again, Rabbi Shimon will say it'll be mikudesh. So we'll say, that's the Gemara that's saying the machlokas, and Mirza Hashem to be continued tomorrow. You know, we'll say, just a reminder also, there is a Daf Yomi WhatsApp group. So if you would like to be part of the Daf Yomi WhatsApp group, it's a wonderful way to get updated Daf Yomi information on the fly.
It's a one-way group, I think.
It's a one-way group.
It's not a responsive group.
Right. Oh, do not post. Right, correct. Do not upload personal pictures, videos of your Cholamoy trips or anything else on it. It is strictly business. Strictly business. But if you'd like to be added to the group, really on a real, it is just for, especially for last minute cancellations or any changes. Saeed will also send out. Do we send out the schedule for Yom Tov? Good. Perfect. All right. We'll stop over here again. Daf Yomi is in the afternoon, both days, both tomorrow as well as Shabbos. Shkoyach.